We're reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, the articles, The History of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. You can find the study materials on the website and the Arvut system.
Yes, this is a very short article. This is the way Baal HaSulam probably wanted to write many things, but it seems to me that he immediately understood that there's going to be a dispute with other Kabbalists, maybe, or something, that he shouldn't keep on going, because there's a lot of disputes here. So what we have, let's read that, and we'll see what we should do.
The History of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. The first book that we have in this wisdom is the Book of Creation, which some attribute to Abraham the patriarch. And so it is written on its cover. However, most authors attribute it to the Tana, Rabbi Akiva. It seems to make sense, since only in his days was writing permitted in the oral Torah. Hence, besides the books of the Bible, we hardly have any books that predate the generation of Rabbi Akiva, due to the known prohibition that you are not permitted to say written words out loud, and you are not permitted to write down words that are said out loud. But after the ruin of the temple and the scattering of the nation from its land, they feared that the Torah would be forgotten from Israel. So they permitted the writing because it is time to do for the Lord, they have broken your Torah, your law.
Maybe repeat that.
Again? The History of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. The first book that we have in this wisdom is the Book of Creation, which some attribute to Abraham the patriarch, and so it is written on its cover. However, most authors attribute it to the Tana, Rabbi Akiva. It seems to make sense, since only in his days was writing permitted in the oral Torah. Hence, beside the books of the Bible, we hardly have any books that predate the generation of Rabbi Akiva, due to the known prohibition that you are not permitted to say written words out loud, and you are not permitted to write down words that are said out loud. But after the ruin of the temple and the scattering of the nation from its land, they feared that the Torah would be forgotten from Israel, so they permitted the writing, because it is time to do for the Lord, they have broken your Torah.
Santiago.
Amado Rav.
Dear Rav. The oral Torah that is mentioned here, can we present it today in our studies and in dissemination?
Today we're permitted to do everything. Everything is whatever is written down, whatever is printed, in many ways. When a person can read it, he can pass it on to everyone. There is no limitation in our times over anything. Whereas at that time it was prohibited because there was a demand for a person to reach these things on his own as a result of a search of an internal correction.
Ashkelon 3.
Ashkelon 3.
Thank you, Rav. What's the reason that the Oral Torah wasn't allowed to be written in text?
That's the matter of revelation of the wisdom. That you don't have to reveal what's really happening for everyone. People were in other degrees than today. In their ego, it wasn't as developed as it is today. And that's why they had to go through many more stages in order to develop more and more to a greater egoistic desire. And that's why it was forbidden to talk to them about these high things, because as we see, they used to make religions, beliefs, all kinds of seemingly spiritual methods. That's why the sages prohibited the wisdom of Kabbalah to be revealed in outside.
It's because of a secret, or does it add some corruption if you write the spiritual things down?
What is a secret and what is the corruption in the Hada, in the writing? If you write, it's written. If you speak, it's spoken. What is the secret or not a secret? It goes from mouth to ear, and it twists 10 times. That's why you can never know what it will lead to. That's why the sages prohibited it. That's it. Until more developed generations would come, and then it is possible to open up more for them.
Barur.
Is that clear?
Tuna.
Thank Belarus. You.
Belarus.
Если я не ошибаюсь, я слышал, что первая книга вообще, которая была у каббалистов, это от
Адама. If I'm not mistaken, I heard the first book was Raziel HaMalach by Adam.
That is correct. There were many books, seemingly books. There were small books that used to be before that, but we don't really take them into account. They're not considered to be, I can't say, but you can be certain that the book of Yetzirah, the book of creation, is a book of Kabbalah. Whereas, as you say, that kind of books they're not really about Kabbalah. It's around it, some mysticism, and it's not really known who's the one who wrote them. Even about the book of Yetzirah, you see there's a dispute who wrote that exactly.
Almatavan.
Учитель, простите за банальный вопрос, но вот за то время, что я занимаюсь, я все равно.
Sorry for this question, but during the time I study, it's still hard for me to explain to people what the wisdom of the Kabbalah is. I know a few definitions, but they're not good for a person for an explanation. Is there any explanation that works?
The wisdom of Kabbalah is a wisdom that explains to us about this one force of nature that works on us all and determines everything each one has and what everyone has. That's the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Мне отвечают, это похоже на религию.
Зе лоше ях ле дат.
They tell me it's religion.
It has nothing to do with religion, but rather it's a science. It's like all the dimensions of nature together. That's the wisdom of Kabbalah. You don't have to believe anything. On the contrary, you have to throw away all your beliefs just to discover this force that exists, establishes, and determines all of reality. And the Creator and nature and anything you can say, it's all incorporated in this concept, in this term, the Creator. And the wisdom of Kabbalah studies it.
Kiev 1.
Kiev 1.
Да, тут вот он вот говорит о том, что непонятно, кто написал все-таки книгу Сефер Йецира.
He says that still it's not clear who wrote the book of Yetzira, Abraham, Rabbi Akiva. So who did write it?
Lo yadua.
It's not known.
Lo yadua.
It is not known.
Al bederach klal al dvarim.
Usually, but these things, what's written is until Elijah comes, Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the prophet. Eliyahu, it's a certain upper force that will clothe on people and brings them a clear notion, clear knowledge over everything. You will see, you will feel one from one end of the world to the other end, all directions, all distances, everything. When that will be clear to you, that's called when Eliyahu comes. Until then, we won't know. There are many things in the world we don't know. That's it.
Так, а что это в нашей работе, скажем, когда воплощается в нас эта сила?
So in our work, when that force clothes in us, how can we reach it?
We should keep on going in our path, the path of connection, to come close to the Creator until we start discovering the Creator in practice, in the connection between us, and we start studying it, its revelation, in all kinds of manners, in the connection between us, all kinds of ways of connection, how accordingly there forms of revelation of the Creator, and accordingly we learn the system. The system of the will to receive that goes back to correction, to be connected, and the system of the upper light that's accordingly it's revealed more and more in this corrected desire. And there's nothing more besides the light and the vessel. And we attain it gradually, bit by bit. Okay?
כן, יש כאן שאלות מהאולם.
בבקשה.
There's questions down here.
Please.
כן, שלום רב, שאלה של חבר
מה... Hello, Rav, a question from a friend from the tent. Why only after the ruin of the temple was it allowed, they let people write it down?
Because there was a fear that confusions will start and the Torah will be forgotten. Meaning, all this knowledge about the Creator and the world and the connection between them. That's why it was permitted. Because there was already a great confusion between people and the people were scattered. They weren't any sages anymore. They didn't believe in anyone. That's why they permitted. Okay, Michael?
כן, רב, אני רוצה לשאול ככה, כי מדברים פה על חוכמת
הקבלה. Speaking about the wisdom, the history of the wisdom. So, until Baal Shem Tov, there's like a certain path that everybody agrees on. And from after the whole Hasidic period, it starts splitting into many different streams, that each one takes his own path, and he's sure that's the truth, and that's the right way. So the question is, how do you even bridge these gaps? And when do all these paths come back to the main road, to the same path?
When they go back to the main road, to the this one lane, you can be certain then Eliyahu is there. I don't think before that there can be something, meaning the upper light called the Messiah, which is drawing us from all the different forms of separation, giving us an understanding, a feeling about the unity of the world, of the upper force, by uniting us. When we can attain this unity, until then, I don't think the situation will become better, only worse. That's the way it should be according to the structure of the world. Until all the evil inclinations revealed, until it's revealed how much we cannot live in connection, and that's how it will keep on going. Even though we're talking about wanting to connect, and we are connecting, and we're coming close to that, but I'm talking about this small group of ours, which is like the center of the world, but for the entire humanity, it will certainly have to go through many more problems, troubles, bad things being revealed until they agree that the connection is the solution for everything.
Why was the separation?
What
the
separation?
There was Abraham, Moses, Ari, there's like a stream, and then it starts splitting after the Hasidic period. Why do we need these splits?
No, the split is prior to the Hasidut. You're swallowing here thousands of years. Hasidism is in the medieval. But even before that, you have many disputes. From the days of Bar Kokhba and many things. We may even read the book of Zohar. You can read what's written there. But the days of the house of David and more. There were always disputes and splits because it's a matter of a search. You can't have it without that. The Kabbalists themselves, they didn't prohibit the disputes. They wanted them to happen because through the disputes, through the overcoming one over the other, you can scrutinize the truth. And without it, you can't. That's why you shouldn't see only the bad things there. Even like in today's wars, some things cannot be scrutinized in other states besides war, and trouble, and torments, and even death. There is no choice. That's the nature of the evil inclination. It's the nature of the world that only this way can we scrutinize good from evil and to place good over evil. It's impossible in a different way. We're beings of emotions, of feelings, and through feeling the light and the darkness, we can advance to good.
In our generation, all the splits, where does it help us advance? Does it even help us advance?
It helps us to advance towards recognition of evil, yes. Ask.
That what? I don't see we're advancing to some kind of recognition.
Oh, from one generation to the other, of course we're advancing. What you used to be, you can't pay attention and you can't say it, but 100 years ago and today, people are completely different. Today they're wiser, they understand more, they're more successful in being closer to the truth. they can distinguish better between bad and good. They're, how should I say that? They're very complex. They're very smart compared to what you had before. Even if you take 20 or 30 years ago, 40 years ago, people used to believe in all kinds of reading things, all kinds of. You could pull them in different directions and they would believe you. You can't pass on to a high state without going through all the lower degrees from it. And we went through these things in a very, very special way, intensive. Look what's going on in kibbutzim, in settlements, in different small places here in Israel, the social relations between the people of Israel and the different relationships. We can't look at a glance on what happened to this nation or to all the different nations. But this will be revealed to us more and more, and we'll understand that our history was a must for us. We had to go through it, and specifically this way. So our generation, as opposed to previous generations, is much more separated, split, but it's full of discernments, it's more aware.
Full of discernments, but still lacking connecting all those discernments. By connecting them into a clear, single knowledge that will be understood by everyone. That's still ahead of us.
And that's exactly what I want to ask about. When will we be able to merge all that into one?
I hope quick.
What's the process you see? It's not Eliyahu. What's the process, as we see, by history, the development? If you go according to the development, how will it happen?
We're lacking trouble. Humanity still doesn't feel that it is full of suffering, that enough. When will we say enough about this world that we don't want this anymore and we're willing to bow down towards the will to bestow and love and in this way advance? When can we do this? To agree with this?
This means what we're lacking is more recognition of evil?
More recognition of evil in our nature.
And this recognition has to come through sufferings.
Not specifically. It can be through the light that reforms. But for now, I don't see that we're so successful in drawing the light that reforms that will completely exchange our path of suffering. We're going through the Derech Eretz, the path of the land, that it's between the two, between the path of the Torah and the path of suffering.
Why are we not successful?
We're not successful because we are not ready to feel in our will to receive. We're willing to subdue our heads and we want to feel good in the will to receive. Yes, Michael, what?
I don't understand how is it possible to acknowledge the evil. The evil only becomes more normal. The worse it is, everything is more normal in the world.
Because we agree to this.
So how can we reach recognition of evil? What will change in the process? The world, humanity is developing by becoming more and more evil, and that's normal. It's nice to be worse, to be bad.
So what can we do? What do you recommend?
I don't know, to pray, to connect between us and to hope that the Creator will help us.
To connect, to pray, to disseminate the method of correction, the necessity of the correction, to show what's waiting for us, what to expect in the future if we keep going this way. And by this, we can still reach the Creator with a plea that He will organize these things. He'll organize it. Without this, we won't be able to come out of that state that we got into.
Ken?
Yep.
Ita 3.
Buongiorno, Rav.
Good morning, Rav. How Bala Sulam faced all this confusion that there was in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and what kind of audience he wanted to relate to, aside from his students?
How did Bala Sulam deal with this and understand the wisdom of Kabbalah so much, to such a depth, more than all generations, that I can't tell you. That's the matter of a special soul that the Creator especially nourishes and presents it to the world, so it'll be as a light for everyone. That's it. That's about Bala Sulam. Second question was?
No, Efo.
Where is he?
What kind of audience Bala Sulam related, aside from his students? Did he prefer any specific audience?
He is aiming his writings to everyone, because he writes that he understands that we're in the last generation, the generation of the Messiah. That's why there's no concealment and everything is open for everyone. And he also wrote it that black, white, red, yellow, no matter who, everyone is equal, and everyone is ready and prepared, and they get an admission into godliness. That's why there's no problem. He treats everyone equally. That's why he wrote for everyone. Okay.
Latin 2.
Gracias, Rab.
Thank you, Rav. You said that today's problem is that there is not enough recognition of evil. Are we responsible for that because we're the conduit for the light? That this evil was not revealed completely?
As much as we advance in the connection between us, so we'll understand that good is connection and bad is separation. And that is towards that structure of Adam Rishon that the Creator broke. And then we need to understand that the connection between us back to one vessel, that is all the best. And in according to that, we'll advance. There's nothing else to do. Just recognize that the distance between us causes bad to everyone.
Latin 8.
Buenas noches, querido Rab. Buenas noches, Clima Mundial.
Buenas noches.
La pregunta es la siguiente. Toda esta infraestructura que tenemos actualmente para conectarnos y mejor y más fácil.
The whole structure we created in order to connect in an easy way, like social media, internet, and cell phones.
El odio, todo lo que se ve. y en nuestras relaciones físicas directamente.
All the evil is revealed in this technology.
Eso podría interpretarse
like
como
attacks on the web, and can we interpret that as an advancement on the left and on the right?
No. The technology and cell phones and wires and waves and all these things aren't guilty. They just pass information that man puts into them. That's why we don't need to curse out the technology, but it all depends on the person, on man. Let's hope we cause a change of man to the good, and it has to be revealed according to the present signs. It should be revealed pretty quick, and then we can use this technology for the good. We don't need to resemble those slaves that used to break their tools. People there hundreds of years ago, they used to destroy their building tools in order to not work. And by that they caused riots. No. We can use all this technology for the good too.
Michael,
what?
There are questions here in the hall. Draw, please. Thank you. We see that the world is developing, it's heading in a direction that it thinks it does good, but actually it does bad. How can we really explain this term, recognition of evil, in a way that you're not blaming a person? There's a natural development we have to correct.
It depends on dissemination. We need to disseminate ourselves and explain ourselves more and more, who we are, what the benefit of the correction is, what will, God forbid, happen if we don't succeed in corrections, so we'll advance to the goal, for sure, but on a bad path and not a good path, and that can be as very bad states. So we need to explain it to everyone, that people already understand a bit. They still don't feel they understand that it can be worse, way worse than what it is now. And we have to explain that the correction can only be if we will work towards connection. Towards connection. And today, that is also more understood, that only through connection we can reach a good life. We're not lacking in our world anything, but connection between nations, between people. That becomes more clear.
But that's exactly the contrast you see in this world today. You see that all the ones who are working and talk about love only cause greater recognition of evil. How can we bring a real contrast to that? The good thing, the recognition of good, is there a formula we can put over recognition of evil?
It's a very simple formula. We need to reach explanation that the good connection is the salvation to the whole world and to all problems, from the still vegetative, animate, and between people. That is clear on one hand. On the other hand, we need to see, as much as the world advances to that understanding. Look what's going on today. People understand that without a good connection between people, we can really escalate into a world war, into destruction, and to the end. So we have foundations, strong foundations, to explain to everyone what we need to do to promise to the world a good future. And except for that, we're promising a good eternal future. That we're saying that we can rise to a spiritual degree above time and place.
Latin 4.
Latin 4.
Buenos días, amado Rab y amados amigos. Rab, usted ahora.
Good day, dear friends, beloved Rab.
Mayor sufrimiento, pero gran parte.
You just said that what's required is more torments for humanity, but most of humanity doesn't respond to the torments. They're looking for the Creator, but they're going through all kinds of religions or methods. How can we explain to them that there is the Torah of the truth, which is Kabbalah?
That's a matter of dissemination. Don't ask me. You have to talk between you and find how you do it. I'm very concerned about dissemination, but how much can I do it? If someone truly wants to write something serious, I'm willing to participate. Yesterday, we got from the print a book about anti-Semitism, the new anti-Semitism. It's in English. That I wrote together with Miss Livne, and very good that through such creations we can explain to everyone what the connection between people is and the wisdom of Kabbalah and humanity. And let's hope that we'll advance in that. I'm willing to be in contact with each one who wants to write serious things. That's it, right? Haifa 1.
Rav, regarding strengthening the connection between us, on November we learned about the serpent and the rod, and you said we're negligent about love of friends. I wanted to ask you, are we advancing?
I think we're advancing a lot, even though you can never say that it's enough. But we've advanced very nicely. This month that we're speaking about the holidays all the time, we've advanced very nice. We've advanced very nice. Keep going, Michael.
To keep on reading?
Yeah, of course. We didn't finish the article. It's a short one.
We're continuing with, at that time, the disciples of Rabbi Akiva. At that time, the disciples of Rabbi Akiva began to write the whole of the oral Torah that they knew. Each of them took upon himself a special faction. Rabbi Meir redacted the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda redacted the Tosaftot, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai redacted the Wisdom of Kabbalah, in which they were proficient, and composed the Book of Zohar and the Tikkunim. Thus, as the Mishnah is a compilation and assembly of laws and innovations of all the generations leading to the generation of Rabbi Meir, the Zohar is a compilation and assembly of the wisdom of Kabbalah from all the first ones who preceded Rashbi, and were only written in Rashbi's name because he redacted them. Of course, he also added his own innovations. However,
יש לנו Moscow 1.
We have Moscow 1.
Please, Moscow 1.
Раф, вопрос немножко умозрительно я понимаю и могу себе доказать, и что объединение.
Intellectually, I understand. I even can prove to myself that connection is something correct.
Вот чувственно.
But if we're talking about connection with the friends emotionally, I don't feel the evil or the flaw when I'm not connected to them. As Kabbalists say, it should be. Will this emotion ever awaken? Will I ever feel that when I'm not incorporated with them, as Kabbalists tell us, I'll feel it as a bad thing? Will I be drawn to it? Or is that related to the correction, and as long as we're egoistic, our emotion will never be part of this process?
The process we're going through is an accumulative process. And gradually, a little drops and drops accumulate to a big sum. And then we start feeling that only in the connection between us there is some kind of quality that can reveal spirituality to us. We cannot feel spirituality, but only by connecting opposite things and supporting one another, each one from his own nature, and then everyone who gives to the other his own nature passes it to the other. In such connections between them, a place is created for spiritual revelation, because the Creator is one for all. To people who are different, to equals, to people who are opposites, and so on. That's why if we build such a state in the connection between us, we discover Him. Spirituality, Creator, it's the same thing. That's what we have to yearn to reach. Connecting above all the opposites between us. To relinquish what is opposite, even though we're opposites, to connect, to agree with what is opposite of us, and so on. And then gradually, we build such a result that includes all those opposites. The Creator strengthens the opposites and covers them and sustains them all together. And then, in our connection, when we connect all those opposites, we start feeling, come and see, Bo'u'e, Creator. Let's hope we reach it. That's it. Then, it's not a problem anymore. As Bala Sulam writes, that's the first revelation, that then we understand that in the opposites of those things, in those contradictions, there and only there, we can discover the Creator. As it's written in the Zohar, there and only there is the Creator Himself. Okay. Where are we?
There's a question here.
Quick.
Rav, what's the root of a scrutiny? I thought it's something simple, but it seems that it's something completely different.
Scrutiny means that we're scrutinizing as much as the will to receive and will to bestow contradict each other, under what conditions we can use the two together into one direction. That they both supposedly come from the Creator, and enter the created beings, and the created beings themselves connect and combine between them, so in such a way to reach the Creator.
Michael. Continue reading. However, the disciples of Rabbi Akiva did not sign their books so that no additions would be added to them. On the contrary, with their books, they created a beginning so that others who followed them would add clarifications, scrutinies, and innovations to the compositions they had begun. This was the same manner that was customary when they engaged in oral Torah, where the latter ones clarified and scrutinized and sometimes disputed the view of the former ones and added to the former ones. This is why you find in the Mishnah innovations and sayings from other Tanaim who lived after the time of Rabbi Meir.
So there's a lot of things that have gathered and were written more and more, and there are big additions on all the materials that Rabbi Akiva gathered and his students. That's why we need to accept it all as one, because for us all those sages were all in great attainment, and they are all for us as people who are really on the degree of attaining the Creator, the whole. And
this continued until the generation of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who found that the generations were declining and were no longer worthy of disputing the former ones. Also, there was the fear that unworthy disciples would contradict the words of the former ones. Hence, he arose and sealed the Mishnah. And since then, it has not been permitted to anyone to add anything to the Mishnah or dispute any of the rules introduced there.
That Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did, he was really the great of the generation, and what he did was he wrote a law, he connected, he made a great order in all the writings of Rabbi Akiva, and from that we have the Mishnah. And we can read it and understand and keep what it's written is written in there. And the Mishnah we study directs us to a special path that through it we can also reach scrutinies of good and bad, truth and false, and correcting our vessels, our qualities. Yes.
However, there was no signing on the Zohar because it was intended for concealment and was absent among the masses, except for among the heads of the generations who secretly kept it. For this reason, the composition remained, and each of the heads of the generations added to it as he saw fit. And this continued until the time of our sages, the Savoraim.
So, except for the wisdom of Kabbalah, all the other writings were revealed and were studied, and people use them, but the Zohar as the foundation for the wisdom of Kabbalah was only revealed to a few people in each generation. Until, as we learn, it came through all kinds of parts, wrappings, that they sold fish and wrapped the fish in them until it reached Rabbi Moshe de Leon and his widow. And then, in such a way, it was eventually revealed to the world. And it came to our time, and also the way it did come, it was only a small part of the book of Zohar. Because as it's written, the book of Zohar in the beginning was tens of books. And today, it all fits into two or three books. That's why there's still what to do. We need to open that whole matter according to what Bala Sulam opened, what he revealed. And we will reveal it to the whole world, and by that we will advance towards redemption. No questions?
Can we say that Bala Sulam and Rabash sum up all these writings in their writings?
What do you mean?
Meaning, the question is this: will we ever go back to learn all these writings, the Mishnah and all the rest of the books, all the closet of books we have throughout the generations, or is there no need for it already because Bala Sulam and Rabash?
No, there's no need in it. I came to Rabash and I looked. There weren't any books except for tests, the study of the Ten Sefirot, and Matan Torah, all those books. That's it. And Sidur, the prayer book. Because they didn't study anything but that. They didn't need it. If you want to attain godliness, correct the soul and reach adhesion with the Creator, so you need to study the books of Kabbalah. And the rest you can study, obviously. It's also books that the sages have written, but they wrote it in such a way that through them you won't be able to draw the light that reforms. Because it's not clear there that we're speaking about spiritual discernments. Well, let's say, like, if you open the Mishnah, so there it's women, there's all kinds of things there. That when you study all kinds of supposedly laws of this world, if you understand the connection between root and branch, that the branch is in our world and the root is in the upper world, so from that you can study, you can attain the upper root and get better in that way. But it's only for unique, exalted, and pure souls that were in the previous generations. And at our times, whoever studies the Mishnah, we see as much as he is immersed in the text itself, what's written there, and not in... When I came to Rabash and I started studying, so he asked me what I studied. And I told him that I studied Talmud and let's say two hold the talit. He says, well, so that's the good and bad inclination that hold man. That is called a talit. I was shocked to hear that. How can it be the good and bad inclination grab a person and they share it, and a person is between those two inclinations? And what happens to him? I didn't expect that you could interpret the Talmud in such a way. And he said, so what do you think is written about here? I said, I thought it's written that two people found some item on the street and they grab it and they start arguing who it belongs to. And it says, so there's the externality of the Torah, and there's the internality of the Torah. So we're in a generation that can't learn the internality of the Torah in such a way from the Mishnah and from the Talmud. That's why we need to study it from the books of the Kabbalah. And for now, we are going, we've ended the lesson, and Michael?
Yes, our schedule for today, at 10 o'clock until 10:30, a program something like that with the Rav Lightman. Then at 10:30 until 11, Kabbalah Express with the Rav Lightman, and at 12 o'clock, afternoon lesson with the Rav. Our schedule for tomorrow, preparation for the morning lesson at 2:40 until 3, then the daily Kabbalah lesson 3 till 5:30, at 11:45, preparation for the lesson until 1 o'clock, we're going to have a lesson. Let's end with the song.
Together we can change the future. Yeah.